Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome and thank you for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney, and this is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And tonight, I am reading from a brand new release, and it is called I'm Not Erin Rose. And at the end of this episode, I will be giving away a free copy to someone. If you'd like to call in and talk to me during this episode, please do. My number is 646-727-2932. Or you can email me, linda@lindamooney.com, if you have any questions. That's also how you can get a copy of I'm Not Erin Rose, by emailing and saying you'd like to be in on the giveaway. I'm Not Erin Rose is a sensuous urban fantasy, somewhat paranormal romance. And it's a standalone. It is not part of a series. And this is the blurb to I'm Not Erin Rose. Not feeling well, Nadia Logermeyer, a 28-year-old dental assistant living in New York City, lies down to rest, only to wake up in the hospital in Houston, Texas, in someone else's body, with someone else's name, and with someone else's husband. She has no idea how or why she's now Erin Rose, or why Erin tried to take her own life. All she knows is that as soon as she's able, she needs to return to New York City to find out what happened to her own body. But that's not the worst of it. She's falling in love with Nash Rose, Erin's husband. Unfortunately, the couple are in the midst of a sticky divorce, and her claims of a body switch are only making things more complicated. She's not Erin Rose, but it's quickly getting to the point where she'd give anything to be her. It isn't until she discovers the real reason why she tried to commit suicide that she realizes the danger isn't over yet. Warning: contains a prenuptial agreement, a monkey-shaped birthmark, visits to pawn shops, high-end fashions, long-distance revenge, and an incredible circumstance that threatens a newfound love. Okay, I'm going to be starting with chapter 8, and this is after Erin has awoken in the hospital, and she's been claiming that she's Nadia, that she's not Erin, and she talks to her psychiatrist, believes that she's having some kind of stress-related illness or maybe a multiple personality disorder. Anyway, this is when Nash takes her home, or to where their home is supposed to be. Were you actually going to send a limo to pick me up at the hospital? Or were you wanting to impress the nurses by having them ask me? Nash noticed the small smile on Erin's, Nadia's, face, and reality hit him broadside. She was teasing him, actually joking with him, but in a semi-serious tone. Erin doesn't tease, a little voice informed him. Not even before the marriage. Nash, are you okay? It was too much. Pulling into the nearest parking lot, Nash hit the brake and put the car in neutral, then turned to face her. All right, we're alone now, just the two of us. No one else is around to hear us. And in case you're wondering, he held up both hands. No phone, no recording devices, no video. Erin, Nadia, appeared confused. Okay, she slowly responded. What's going on? Why the big act? You're already getting half of everything, including the house. Why did you try to commit suicide? Frustration gave bite to his words. Giving a little growl, he ran both hands through his hair and tried to calm himself. He wouldn't lash out. He would never strike her. But he was damn close to putting his fist through the side window. After a few seconds, she spoke, and, like before, it was not something he expected. "Nash, it's no act. Honest to God, if I knew what was going on, don't you think I'd tell you?" He heard her sniff. Surprised, he turned to see her also staring out the window. Tears glistened in her eyes, and at that moment, he knew they were real. How he could tell, he didn't have a clue, but the vulnerable, dejected expression on her face was too real to be faked. Before he could respond, she held out her hand to him. "May I use your phone, please?" "Please." Erin never said please, unless she was begging for something that was too expensive or ridiculous, and he was fighting to curb the hemorrhaging in their bank account. The word was never, never used with honest intent. Reaching inside his jacket pocket, he pulled out his cell and handed it to her. She glanced at the screen. "What's the passcode?" Oddly enough, he didn't feel hesitant about giving it to her. He watched as she tapped it in, then coded in a number. But instead of putting the phone to her ear, she hit the speaker app so he could hear. "Add another tally mark to the Not Erin column." The phone rang four times before an automated voice answered. "We're sorry, but the party..." Erin, Nadia, ended the call before it finished. "Who were you trying to call? Yourself?" She nodded as she handed the phone back to him. "Dr. What's-his-name? The psychiatrist?" "Notman." "Dr. Notman tried earlier when he came by the hospital to talk to me. There was no answer then either." She lifted a tear-stained face to him, and Nash was shaken to see the haunted look in her eyes. "Nash, what's happened to my body? To my real self? Am I dead?" He rubbed his eyes to get the grit out. It had been a restless night, capping a horrendous past 3 days. "You said you were from New York, right?"
"Yes." Her breath hitched. "Nash, I have to go back there. I have to find out if she's...
"What do you remember? What's the last thing you recall?"
She bowed her head as she thought. "I wasn't feeling so good, so I called in sick."
"Sick how?"
"I think I ate something bad. My stomach was upset. I'd been throwing up, and my back was killing me."
"Any chest pains?"
She shook her head. "No, but I was having trouble breathing. I laid down to rest, and I fell asleep.
When I woke up, I was here." "You said you called in sick. To work?"
"Yeah. I'm a dental assistant at Parkhurst Dental Associates."
"That was 3 days ago," Nash muttered to himself. "I take it you don't work weekends?"
She shook her head in answer.
"They may try to get in touch with you tomorrow when you don't call in or show up." He swiveled around in his seat. "What about friends? Can you call them to go check on you?"
"I don't know their numbers off the top of my head. Besides, even if I tried, do you think my body will still be there?"
Trailed off. Nash surmised what she might be imagining. "You're wondering if Erin is now in your body, the way you're in hers."
"Yes."
His heart fluttered at the defeated sound in her voice, a voice that was soft-spoken, a voice he hadn't heard in almost 3 years.
"Nash, will you buy me a ticket to New York?"
He shook his head. "Not now. You're not well enough. But I promise I will."
"When?"
"As soon as Dr. Larson says you're able to withstand the trip. I promise. And I'm going to come with you."
He smiled. I've never been to New York. Were you born there?
No, I'm originally from Schenectady.
I moved to the Big Apple to attend the College of Dentistry in NYU, but I switched degrees when I found out I could be an oral hygienist after 2 years. She gave him a tired smile. I'd run out of money, and I needed more than a part-time job to pay the bills.
What about your family? Do they still live in Schenectady?
She shook her head. They're deceased. Giving a little snort, she added, I don't even have a pet. Ash, why did Erin try to kill herself?
I honest to God don't know.
Well, how are... She lifted her face to stare at him. How are things between you?
Truthfully, not good.
You, Erin, filed for divorce last week. I live here alone?
Actually, no. I sleep in the guest bedroom on the first floor.
She looked confused. But if you're separated... Nash gave a vague wave of his hand.
The house is big enough, and our schedules never coincide. Oh, I did leave initially, but I didn't have the time to go apartment hunting. Erin convinced me to remain until the divorce was finalized, or until I found my own place. Whatever came first.
Nash, why did she file?
He swore he heard a hint of fear.
If you're thinking I hurt her, I assure you, it's nothing like that.
Erin,
she got tired of being married to me,
and it was going to be an amiable split.
We'd signed a prenup before we'd gotten married, so she knew she wasn't going to get everything if she bailed short of the 5-year limitation.
Oh, God, what if?
The most absurd thought flashed in his mind, a thought that was more of a wish. What if Erin never comes back? What if Nadia stays in her body? What if... His mind raced with the possibilities as he drove back onto the feeder road and into the flow of traffic. Hearing her wet sniffles, he tapped the center console between them with his elbow.
There are tissues inside.
She found them and blew her nose, but said nothing more until he finally turned into their subdivision. She gasped when he rolled up the driveway in front of the beautiful two-story white brick home with Roman columns.
This is where we live?
Yeah, this is home.
It's big.
5 bedrooms, 3.5 baths.
Best part is the study and the sunroom.
Just wait until you see... Nash almost bit his tongue.
Just wait until you see it?
At that moment, he realized he had very few doubts left as to Nadia's claim. The driveway curved around the rear to the rear of the house. Nadia gawked at the car parked on the other side of the double garage when Nash pulled in.
Sweet Jesus, is that a Bentley?
That's Erin's car, her flavor of the year.
The one before that was a Porsche.
They make Bentleys in pink? He laughed.
If you order it in that color, yes.
When he came round to her side, she waved off his offer to help her out of the car and laughed softly.
It feels good to walk around after lying in that hospital bed.
Egads, listen to me. I never thought I'd gripe about staying in bed. She laughed again, mostly because her nervousness had returned. Nash went to retrieve the bag of items from the back seat as she opened the door connecting the house to the garage to the house. She half expected to step into the kitchen. Instead, it was the laundry room, with 2 doors leading in opposite directions. She waited for him to join her before pointing them out.
Which way?
He nodded to their right.
That's to the sunroom I told you about.
The other's to the kitchen.
Kitchen it is. I'm famished.
Again, she was blown away by the size and scope that greeted her.
Holy cow! Would you look at that fridge!
Walking over to it, she opened one of the 3 doors. Inside was a quart of milk, some yogurt, 4 diet soft drinks, and a box of leftover fried chicken. She gave him a curious glance.
You have a fridge the size of a car, and this is all you have inside it? She halfway teased. Christina hasn't had a chance to go to the store yet. Who's Christina?
The housekeeper. She also does some cooking when you require it.
That word, require, gave her pause. It almost sounded bossy.
I take it Aaron doesn't cook?
He started to reply, thought better of it, and instead shook his head.
No.
Walking around the bar, she sat on one of the padded cushions to face him.
All right. I think it's time we had a talk.
She noticed how his face paled. Laying the bag of medical supplies on the bar's marble top, he leaned against it.
All right, I'm listening.
No, this is going to be a two-way conversation. Tell me about Erin. Tell me what kind of person she is.
In what way do you mean?
How am I expected to behave around your friends, your family? Nadia gave an exasperated sigh. Give me a clue what to do so people don't suspect the truth.
You don't want others finding out you're not Aaron? Do you?
She countered. He bit his lower lip, and she was struck by how sexy it looked. She could tell he was debating with himself. Not waiting for him to answer, she pressed on.
Say I did. Do you think they'll believe me?
They'll think I'm totally nuts.
They'll probably think you're hallucinating after what you did.
Something about his statement sounded false, and she challenged him on it.
That's bullshit.
He reacted in surprise, so she pressed the issue. Name one person the suicide attempt.
Dr. Larson, doctor
other than a doctor. Nash sighed.
No one, he admitted.
Uh-huh. That's what I thought.
It's not what you think.
Then tell me what to do, what to say. Who is Aaron the person? I'm betting you don't want anyone else to know what happened any more than I do.
Am I right?
He clasped his hands on the bar and bowed his head over them as if he was praying.
What are you thinking? She softly urged.
After a few moments, he slowly shook his head.
You're not her.
Nadia caught her breath, but waited for him to continue.
You're not Aaron.
What finally convinced you?
Everything. Everything you've said, everything you've done. You don't even walk like her.
Scooting her stool closer to him, she crossed her arms on top of the cold stone and rested her chin on them as she looked up into his puzzled face.
Tell me about her. You won't like what I'm going to say.
Nadia shrugged. Let me be the judge of that. He grabbed a stool next to her and sat.
Let me start with why I married her. I met with a couple of friends in Cabo to go deep sea fishing. Erin was vacationing with a group of her girlfriends. We were staying at the same hotel and met at the bar. That's how we discovered we were both from Texas. I was living in Fort Worth at the time. She was from Dallas. We're practically neighbors. I saw a beautiful woman who was intelligent, and we had similar tastes in movies. The sex was great. I fell madly in love with her. Yet?
He rubbed his chin stubble. Sitting this close together, she could smell a faint fragrance coming off of him. She could feel the heat emanating from his body. She caught a glimpse of a tiny hole in his earlobe where he may have worn a stud at some point. Nadia wondered if the man kept any tattoos hidden underneath that casual shirt and khaki pants.
Yet I drew up a prenuptial agreement for us to sign prior to the wedding.
You drew it up?
Yes.
You know how to do that? I mean, you know what goes in a prenup? Or did you go online to find one you could use?
He stared deep into her eyes. For the first time, she saw his were a hazel green, more green around the iris and more brown on the outer edge of the ring.
I'm a contract lawyer, Nadia. I usually compose them for clients. Sometimes I arbitrate. I've also been to trial a few times when an attorney needed my testimony regarding contract law. He smiled. A prenup is relatively simple compared to some of the litigation I've had to propose.
So you drew up a prenup because why?
That's not something ordinary people do when they decide to tie the knot. You must have a lot of money. She got a snort out of him for that remark. She brought her trust fund with her. I had my practice. Still, he made a face. Maybe deep down I had my thoughts it would last. I'm normally not a distrusting person, but in this case, Nadia reached out, laying her hands on top of his. Their contact was electric, sending a small shockwave through her. Nash's head jerked upward, but he didn't withdraw. He cleared his throat. Anyway, after a couple of weeks after the honeymoon, I got an offer to join the law firm here in Houston. It was a big step for me, but Erin didn't like to be uprooted. She protested. We fought almost constantly. I tried to tell her that since she didn't work, it shouldn't matter where my job took me, but she hated the thought of moving away from her circle of friends. I plied her with all sorts of presents to sway her. I brought her down here so she could personally pick out the house she wanted, whether we could afford it or not. But once we got here and settled in, things got worse. She spent money to the point where I had to cancel her credit card. That didn't slow her down. She just opened more accounts. Our credit rating tanked because she didn't give me the bills to pay. She demanded to have a full-time housekeeper. She demanded a lot of things. She wanted a new car every year. He grimaced. It was always something. One, I have to have it, or another. She refused to listen to reason, refused to compromise over any issue. Our home life suffered, but I was stuck. Stuck? How? If I caved first, according to the prenup, she would get an extra 10% of my yearly earnings. We were already struggling financially. To have that on top of me being fully responsible for all debt would have been crushing. But weren't you already paying for all her expenses? That I knew of, yes. But there's a 60-day grace period from the time you file to the time the divorce is finalized. She can do a hell of a lot of fiscal damage in that time. So what made her take that step instead of you? Was she losing anything? No. He tried to smile again, but failed. I was such a sap. You were in love. Nadia gave his hands a little squeeze. Did she love you? Initially? I think maybe she was infatuated. Like I said, the sex was good and I had the money to show her around. But I think she was more in love with the idea of marriage than she was with the actual results. Home life didn't quite turn out to be the fairy tale I guess she imagined it would be. He made another face. On the positive side, I spent a hellacious amount of time building my practice so I'd have the funds where I could at least try to keep her happy. By letting her spend you out of house and home? Well, yes. What about kids? This time he opened his hands to let her slip her palms over his. She felt his warm fingers close over hers. Nadia wondered what it would be like to have his arms holding her. It was an image that put butterflies in her stomach. Your hands are like ice. Do you like a sweater or something? No, but thank you. Kids? She nudged. She said she wasn't ready. I haven't pressed the issue. Nadia chuckled. You mean your families aren't constantly nagging you for grandchildren? Now, I didn't say that, he laughed. It was a good laugh, filled with relief and brief humor. When it was over, he removed his hands and stepped away. You said you were hungry? Yeah. I think there's an extra ice cream bar in the freezer. He went over to pull out a bottom drawer in the refrigerator. Ah, I was right. He brought it over to hand to her. Nadia quickly tore off the wrapper and took a bite. God, that tastes good. She glanced up at him, giving her that funny look, to find him giving her that funny look again. What? Did I say something unerring? In a way, you're eating ice cream. So? Erin watches calories like a hawk. I didn't think I'd ever see her eat anything fattening. Nadia studied the chocolate-covered delight in her hand as a realization struck her. She peered back at Nash. You were testing me. I'm sorry. You're who you say you are, but he appeared apologetic. Nadia smiled to show she understood. Don't worry about it. I can only imagine how I would react if the tables were turned. Make that 96%, Nash told her. Okay, I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to, if you want to be in on the possibility of having a free copy, email me, linda@lindamooney.com. And just put, you'd like a copy of the book, and I'll give you a few minutes. In the meantime, upcoming shows. I'm having, let's see here, in December, next week, I have Lisa Kessler will be returning. Yay! And then that'll be my last show for the year. I will be back in January with Desi Morrow and Shauna Ruppert. So if you, I'd love to have you back and listening again in 2016. All right, let's see here. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I will do the little hat trick here. And Jennifer, all right, yes. You are the lucky winner of a copy of I'm Not Erin Rose, which will be released this week. Be watching it. It has been uploaded to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all romance e-books, and Kobo and all of those. So be on the lookout. It should be out pretty soon. And I will be contacting you, Jen, via email to see what version you, what format you like. It will be available in Mobi, EPUB, and PDF. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks for listening in tonight. Good night, people. Bye-bye, and thanks again for listening in. Merry Christmas.